draw your attention to the words in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, where the Lord says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I should say that these words, wide, describing the gate, that's fair enough, it's what it means, wide or broad. But the word straight, the straight gate, that's a word which is what it says, but it means a narrow. It's a word which does mean narrow, a narrow gate. And the word which is translated narrow, this is quite confusing, in verse 14, is narrow, but it's in the sense of restricted. It's more restricted or constricted. So we'll use those words interchangeably as we proceed. But we find ourselves tonight, strangely enough, in the third of a series, which wasn't ever intended to be a series, of knots. We're looking to untie some knots. The first knot 2 weeks ago was from Titus, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." And last week we looked at this very chapter and the verse which says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Not profession, but possession was our subject. And tonight we're thinking not the broad road, but the narrow road leads to life. This is all within the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, that famous sermon where the Lord Jesus spoke just to believers and believers only, according to many. But it's not, we wouldn't agree with that statement. Because as we pointed out last week, the sermon starts in Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 with the Lord Jesus going up into a mountain and his disciples join him. And so he begins to speak to them, and it's definitely just for Christians. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn for their sin. Blessed are the meek." These are Christian attitudes, beatitudes. And it shows how a Christian should see themselves and be characterized. But the crowd, the reason why he went up into the mountain was to get away from the crowd for a while. But they followed him. And as they came up into that mountain, we come eventually to the 6th and 7th chapter of Matthew. And chapter 7 is largely for those that don't yet know the Lord. And we can see that. He talks about beholding the beam, criticizing others, and not seeing that you've got a great log of wood in your eye as you approach. You need to sort out your own sin. And other matters within this 7th chapter. And so he talks about these two roads. The verse from Titus, which we looked at, was "not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he saved us." Emphasizing one vital, important thing, which is being saved. How are you saved? How are you converted? How can you be right with God? Well, it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And then last week, it's not saying, "Lord, Lord." It's not just professing and saying you're a Christian, which makes you right with God. But again, it's about being right with God. And so tonight, broad is the way, or narrow is the way. It's about how you can be right with God, how you can know that your sins are forgiven. So these two roads to begin with finding verse 13, broad is one particular road and narrow is another particular road. We've all got experience, haven't we, of broad roads and narrow roads. I think some of the prime examples would be motoring. Suppose you wanted to go to visit your aunt or your grandparents who live in some ideal picturesque little village in the West Country. How'd you go? Well, you'd set out down the M20. And that's a fairly wide road, a broad road. You get onto the M26, which is a fairly broad, wide road. And then you drive onto the M25. Well, that's massive. Three lanes, four lanes, five lanes sometimes on the M25. Then eventually you get to the M4, the M5, the M3, the M4, then the M5. And all the way, you've been driving for 3 hours on broad, wide roads. And you turn off halfway down the M5. And you turn into a lane. And within about 5 minutes of leaving the motorway, you're driving at a very slow speed because you're following a tractor. And after a little while, a car is coming the other way. And you and the tractor have to back down into the opening to a field to let the other car go past. It's a very constrained, it's a very narrow road in the sense that it is restricted. You can't just drive up and down as you please. So it's the single, that little road, the constrained road, is little more than a track. And you find yourself after 3 hours of non-stop motorway on this little road behind this tractor. And another hour takes you to your grandparents' house or your aunt's home in the country. So it's possible to be in a country lane, single track, 1 minute, and in a five-lane motorway the next. And Jesus describes life as being like that. Except that you don't keep going from one road to another. You're either in one road or the other, according to the Lord Jesus, and he knows. Jesus describes life as being just like that, about being in one of those roads. You're either on the broad way or the narrow way. And that is really the first obvious point about this. There are only two ways. There are only two roads. There are only two sorts of people in this life. You're either a saved, converted, accepted by God person, or you're not. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. We naturally tend to think that life is a series of options, that you can be very broad-minded, you might be very narrow-minded, but there are lots of in-between-minded people. And that, to a degree, seems to make sense. You can be a Christian without going to church, people say. That's a popular view. Lots of people, people say, enjoy life to the full, but don't do anything particularly bad. Others say, well, as long as you try not to hurt anyone, well, you're free to do exactly what you want. All these are in-between ideas, in-between-minded people. But as far as satisfying God is concerned, there are only two roads. You are either right with God or you're wrong with God. You're out of favour with God. And you don't go in and out from one to the other. You're either saved or unsaved. These two roads, these two ways, are being a Christian, that's being converted, having that new birth experience, or not being a Christian. That is, living without coming to Christ for forgiveness and renewal. There's a distinct difference. The Lord makes one distinction. And he says, this is the distinction. One is narrow, the other is wide. These two roads, one is narrow, it's restricted, the other is wide and easy. And he's recommending the narrow, the restricted one. He says, that's the road you should be on. Obviously, you can see that a narrow road has certain disadvantages. Restricted travel, things you can't do, you can't pass, or on oncoming traffic, you can't overtake. That's assuming you're driving. Supposing you're walking, because Jesus obviously had in mind people walking on a road. Well, imagine you're walking on a narrow road. You still have traffic to contend with, and you still have difficulties. You've got less people that you can talk to. On a small road, you might walk for an hour and not meet one person on this particular road. And what actually does the Lord mean, though, by wide or narrow when it comes to the road we take in life? Well, by the wide road, he means no real restrictions, a life where you don't have to feel guilty and about things you think things you do, things you say. You don't have to check them all the time. You can do as you please, as long as you follow that rule that you don't hurt too many other people. No God to answer to, as far as you're concerned, but the narrow road. By that, the Lord is describing a life that a person lives, which contains choices. You're not living to please yourself, but God. You don't have a list on the narrow road. There's not a list of rules that Christians have to follow. Rules of the narrow road. Rule 1, don't smoke. Rule 2, don't drink alcohol. Rule 3, but there's no rules. It's not that there are rules of the narrow road. But you are conscious when you're on that narrow road, when you're a Christian, that God loves you. And that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And he is your companion. And you have that constant care that you know what the Lord Jesus has done for you. And you don't want to let him down. So it's a narrow road because it's narrow. You don't want anything wider. So you choose your travelling companions carefully. You don't wander from the left to the right all the time in your habits. There's only one stream. Whereas in the broad road, you can walk where you please, with whom you please, as fast or as slow as you want. And the man on the narrow road asks himself, what sort of a witness am I? This is the application. Am I being consistent with calling myself a Christian? On the broad road, it's all about me. What do I like? What are my pleasures in life? Where am I going? What can I do to make myself happy? It's an easy road. It seems more difficult to walk on the narrow road. But then the Lord Jesus talks about gates. And that's a more difficult concept for us because we don't think of going through a gate to get onto a motorway or onto a narrow road. Usually there's a signpost on that one narrow road into another pointing to some little village, or on the motorway some huge lights which tell you that you're going onto a different motorway. I was rather surprised to read in a book earlier today that there's a difference of opinion about where on the road these gates are to be found. It seemed obvious to me. But there are four different opinions. I won't go into them. But surely it's obvious that what the Lord is saying is you enter into the gate and come onto the road. But we don't have that sort of system in our country. And I don't know that they had it in Israel in Jesus' time. Probably there was something that he had in mind and he had some such system. Maybe it's like a toll gate which you have to go through in order to get onto a certain road. But whatever Jesus had in mind, there's a straight gate, a narrow gate, more complex and difficult to get through. And there's a wide gate, and you hardly notice there's a gate at all. Many go in through this wide gate, it says. And before you know where you are, you're walking down the road, the broad road. You say to somebody, one of the many people that you meet along the way, do you know, I hardly noticed the gate at all. I just found myself on this road. And that's quite accurate, because you've been on that road all your life, if you're not a Christian. So it's all about gaining access. Gates are for gaining access to that particular road. And we've already noted how easy it is to go through the wide gate. It's simple, it's easy, you're on it already. Many go in that way, says the Lord Jesus. Because in reality, you don't have much choice. You're on that path and you go through the wide gate and you're on the wide road, almost from your birth. You don't select the wide gate and say, well, I think I'll go on the wide gate today. You don't choose between the wide and the narrow. You are on the broad road now and you've come through the wide gate. It's as opposed to the narrow or short, straight gate. You don't suddenly decide to enter a gate marked not being a Christian or being a Christian. You're not a Christian until you become a Christian. There's no such thing as somebody that was born a Christian. So there's no real choice to make as far as the gate onto the broad road. But look at the straight gate. Look at the narrow gate. Enter in at, he says. Enter in at the straight
or narrow gate. It describes a point in your life when your choice is, do I stay on the broad road, the easy road, or can I enter at the narrow gate? It's a more definite thing. I could stay on the broad road, the easy road, the fun road, the do as I please road, or do I make the effort and try to get myself through the narrow gate, because I can see that that narrow road is the right one to be on if I want to enjoy real life, the life that only Christ can give. But wait, verse 14 says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. How do you find it? You don't just suddenly stumble across the narrow gate. You have to find it. The Lord says earlier in that chapter, chapter 7, seek and you shall find. So ask and it shall be given you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. So you have to seek for the gate. Why would you do that? Well, because God has been speaking to you. And he's made you see the foolishness of walking on the wide road, of going the way that everybody else is going, just because they're the majority. And most people don't believe in the Lord Jesus. They don't trust in him. So I'll go that way. They can't all be wrong, can they? Yeah, they can. They can all be wrong. They are all wrong. So you don't suddenly find yourself choosing whether or not to enter. You have to seek and find the gate. Many people say they are seekers. It's almost a noble thing. No, I'm not completely decided as to where I stand with regard to these matters, but I'm a seeker. Yes, I'm a seeker. And people who say that often claim to be concerned and determined, but few are really, truly seeking. If you're seeking, the Lord Jesus said, you will find. So if somebody comes to me, as one man did, after about 10 years, and I said, well, where are you? And he said, well, I'm seeking. And I said, well, you said that to me 10 years ago. Seek and you shall find. Don't you believe that? Well, what about the travellers? The travellers on these two roads. Many travel on the wide road. Few, said Jesus, travel on the narrow road. In any generation, it certainly seems to us that those who are not Christians outnumber those that are. If you went round Britain today, and even if you asked people, I think those that said, no, I'm not, would outnumber those that say they are, just purely by the very mixed population that we've got. Many and few. You find yourself among a great number who cannot actually be numbered as a Christian. But on a day-by-day basis, you're still the only Christian in your family. You're still one of two, maybe, out of 50 in your office. You're the only Christian in your street, the only born-again, true Christian. The smallest of 6 churches in the neighbourhood is a church which has Christians, true born-again Christians, as its members. So if you consider it, and perhaps you conclude the majority must be right, well, you'll still want to be on the broad road. Or you simply don't want to be the only Christian, and you don't want to stand out. So you'll leave it for now. You're still on the broad road. Easy and difficult. That's what these two roads represent. And the travellers, those who want an easy life, and those who are prepared to take up the cross, the difficult life, in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Life with restrictions, if you look at it that way, it's your own choice, but as per the Lord's will, you will want to live his way. Or life where you do what you please, and already you've come through that wide gate and you're halfway down the road that leads to destruction. Finding the narrow gate. Reasons why you would want to find the narrow gate. Well, where it leads. The narrow gate leads to life, Jesus said. The wide gate leads on an easy road to travel, which leads to destruction. Narrow gate is restricted, and it leads to life. Is that life what they used to call pie in the sky when you die? In other words, it's this promise that there's a glorious heaven, but who knows? No, it's here and now. This life which you enter into is life here and now. It's eternal life. It begins when you receive Christ. Don't think we're saying that you become a Christian and you've got to wait till you die and then you'll find that everything you believed was true. No, you'll know it now. If you come to Christ, you enter into life. Ask anyone that's been converted in the last few years. Is life better now or worse now than before you were converted? Oh, I didn't have life. I was dead before I became a Christian, will be their answer and their testimony. So it's a question of finding that gate, asking for help. What do you do? Will you get in touch with the Lord? He's only a prayer away, and you ask his help to show you that gate. You consider your need. You know the wide gate, the wide road. You know it leads to destruction. What does that mean? Well, you're destroying yourself all the way down it until eventually you just tip over the edge. There was a missionary, Amy Carmichael, I think it was, who had this vision, this dream, which led her to missionary service, where she saw these people rushing down a hill to a cliff and throwing themselves over the edge of the cliff. And she couldn't believe it, and she got closer and she saw they were all blind. And she said, that's mankind without Christ, throwing themselves to an early destruction because they will not believe and will not receive the Saviour. It's finding that gate, being in touch with the Lord, asking his help, considering your need. You know where the wide gate leads. You know where the wide road leads. Think how wonderful it would be to know for sure, all my sins have been forgiven. All my debt has been fully paid. It's worth being one of the few rather than one of the many on the road that leads to destruction. May the Lord bless us in our way that we receive the word of God.